for one and one for another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins.
And I'm Corey Regan.
And got a great
Paul
show.
Sonic.
We're all three here. We actually have a very, very full studio because we have a full show today. We're going to be talking about hunting for something. Are you hunting for something in your life? Are you looking for something in your life? Well, hunting season's right around the corner. Well, in fact, it's here for bow hunting right now.
Oh, it's but the rifle starts next
21st.
Oh, okay.
21st. And we're going to talk all about hunting today on the Rediscover Hour. And we have very, very special guests coming up. We're going to have Father Michael Becker with us. We're going to have Dave Herbacek, and he's from the Catholic Spirit. A little bit later on in the show, we've got John the Ninja Yanta, who is a hunter
hunting
par
master.
Excellence, and his wife, Callie. She's going to be here.
I thought she was the ninja.
Yeah. Well, right now she's
home.
She's the injured ninja.
Oh, dear.
And we're going to find out about that. What happened? They've been hunting already this year. But, hey, that's an interesting topic, isn't it, hunting? You don't tune into Catholic radio very often and hear people talking about hunting.
Yeah, it's a spiritual thing. It's even, there's some scripture about it. In Genesis, we read that Isaac, nearing death, told his son to take your gear, therefore your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country and hunt some game for me. With your catch, prepare an appetizing dish for me to eat so that I may give you my special blessing before I die. So it's in the Bible.
Yeah, it is. Just it's missing Cabela. That's about it. Go to Cabela,
get your gear. Right. There. No, and it's a good time, I think, to, I would imagine, to unplug, slow down. You know, we talk about being distracted. There's so many distractions in our life. And I don't know, maybe you do, but I doubt people take their phones and are looking at Facebook while they're
you
in the
would
stand.
Be surprised
or maybe they are I don't
what
know
what people are doing in the deer stand
but
with
it's
their
probably
phones.
A good time to pray and be silent for a little while. We're also afraid of silence, like maybe it's a good time.
Well,
to
a little bit later on in the show, Corey, I'm going to talk about my experience hunting. I've yet to hold to well, I don't even know what you call it, catch a deer. I've yet to
bag, get a deer.
Bag a deer. I've yet to do that. But my good friend John the Ninja Yanta has taken me hunting several times, and I've been sitting in the stand and actually enjoying that quiet and praying the rosary. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get a deer. I'm going to tell a couple stories today that are going to blow your mind about sitting in a deer stand with cats attacking me.
This is going to be a great show. I can't wait
to
hear these
and
stories.
What it took for John the Ninja Yanta to get me up in the tree. When I first went hunting, I didn't even know you had to go in a tree. I was just going to walk around with a gun looking for deer. And I had no idea. And when he started spraying me with stuff, and I asked him what it was, I thought, this is not going to be a good day. But it turned out to be quite the wild day. In all seriousness, I mean, Paul and Corey, both of us, we, you know, in life, there are times where you feel like you are on the hunt. You're looking for something in life.
I think always.
And I think that sometimes it is the anticipation that is actually more exciting than bagging the deer, so to speak. You know, it's that looking for something.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
The hunt. It's the hunt, not necessarily the prize you get after, but the journey you're on until you get there.
The journey is the destination.
Yeah. Oh, you're so philosophical. Well, we're going to talk about hunting, and I'm looking forward to talking to Callie, because I think a lot of women have this idea that their men are going to go out hunting and the women are going to stay behind, but she kind of reversed that. You know, she's saying, no, I'm going with you now.
I would too, yeah.
And she has a deer stand that she's going to be describing to us that is incredible. Hey, I hope you're doing well today. And, you know, we're going into the fall now, and we're getting ready for Advent coming up. And, of course, we've got other holidays, Thanksgiving around the corner. But it's a good time to start thinking right now, even before Advent begins. It's a time to start preparing for how is your family going to celebrate Advent? what happens so often is that suddenly the holiday, the feast day, the time of the year is upon us, and we realize that we really have not prepared for it to make it a meaningful experience. And then we say, well, you know, next year I think I'm gonna do a better job of preparing. So I'm just saying it's time to think now of how you're going to prepare for Advent and make it a meaningful time in preparation for the birth of the King. And you know, Paul and Corey, our whole liturgical year follows the life of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, it follows the entire life of Jesus, and it ends on Christ the King. You know, He is King, and so. It's an exciting time in the church. And remember to pray for our church in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And you know that things have been difficult in the news in the last year and so forth. Do your part. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our priests. Pray for one another. And take the Word of God that you hear on Sunday and put it into practice. Because it's putting the Word of God into practice that is going to make a difference in the Twin Cities. If all of us would do what the disciples did, die to ourselves, live for Christ, we would see this entire archdiocese completely transformed. I mean, look, if 12 guys without an iPhone turned Turkey upside down, Asia Minor and Europe 2,000 years ago, just think what we could do. And we even have iPads today.
We have iEverything.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. iEverything.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. But today, here we are with Father Michael Becker and Dave Herbacek to talk a little bit about hunting, and I think we'll do that when we come back.
Yep, we're going to be coming right back, and you won't want to miss it because we've got some great hunting stories coming up. We'll be back on the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambeau, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric,
612-424-7382. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us today. I'm joined by Corey Regan and Paul Sadek, and this is another great day to be alive, and this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. What is in the crosshairs of your life? What are you aiming at right now? What are you going after? Well, we're going to talk about hunting today, and I want to introduce our guests. We have Father Michael Becker, and Father Michael Becker is the rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary at the University of St. Thomas, a great leader, a friend. We've traveled together, and I'm finding out now he's quite the hunter. Joining him is Dave Herbacek, and he is with the Catholic Spirit. Many of you have read his great articles and features, and he, too, is a great outdoorsman. And we'd like to welcome both of you to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. Wonderful to be with you, Jeff, Corey, Paul, and with you too, Dave.
Hey, great to be here, Father Becker, although I have to say, it would sure be nice to be in a deer stand this morning on a crisp fall morning, but for you and I, that'll come next Saturday for the firearms deer opener.
Can't wait. Little piece of heaven.
You guys really look forward to it. We want to talk about hunting. I know a little bit about hunting, and Corey, of course, you're very experienced.
Yes, I grew up in Texas, and I'm just, you know, hunting all the time. No, I did do some hunting when I was younger with friends, and, you know, so I know a little bit about it, but...
Okay, so let's bridge the gap between faith and everyday life here. let's talk about hunting. And Father, you know you're a very busy man. You're at the college seminary, and you've been a pastor out in St. Michael's, and just very, very busy. What does hunting mean to you in your life?
Well, you know, I love getting out in the nature and experiencing God. When you're out in the stand and the sun comes up in the morning, it goes from dark to light. It's very much like the spiritual life, from darkness into light, but that slow progression is so beautiful, and then you hear and see the animals come alive. Again, God's creation. I've had birds land on the end of my arrow and not know, you know, that I was there. I've had squirrels come up trees and look at me and oddly, like, what is this? I've seen black bear and skunk and all sorts of animals right under my stand. So it's always an adventure with God. It's very prayerful. I experience the Lord's blessing out there. And so, yes, I look forward to it every year, whether it's bow or rifle.
And Dave, you're a mighty hunter also. Not only that, you're a mighty fisherman.
Fisherman, yeah.
How long have you been hunting?
Well, I started actually when I was a kid squirrel hunting with my dad. We would go on MEA weekend down to Whitewater State Park near Rochester, and we'd squirrel hunt down there. We squirrel hunt near Litchfield, where my mom grew up and my grandma lived, and that was the way I got introduced to it. My dad did some deer hunting when we were young. We didn't go with him, but it just kind of got the fever going in me, and I took up deer hunting a little bit later in life, but I go every year, and now I bow hunt and gun hunt, and it's just an awesome time to be out there.
One of the saints that I grew up in Chanhassen, you know, and St. Hubert's is out there, and I didn't even know that St. Hubert is the patron of hunting. And as I was looking it up in preparation for the show today, I found out that St. Hubert is actually very, very gifted, because he's the patron saint of hunters, mathematicians, opticians, and metal workers.
That's a diverse guy right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like being the saint of sumo wrestling and worm growing or something like that, all these different things.
Not to mention he's also the patron of those with hydrophobia, which is rabies.
Okay, that was animal related, but
important.
Yeah.
we got all bases covered here. Father, give us kind of a little primer and some thoughts on hunting, and from kind of a Catholic perspective, a Christian perspective.
Well, certainly God has said, I've given you this gift of creation and have dominion over it, which is to steward it well, to love God's gifts and to love the giver, God himself, through it. So I feel like in a way I'm rejoicing in God's gifts when I go out hunting. The quiet, the nature allow for a lot of prayer, and so communion with God in that. You know, I pray in Thanksgiving if I do receive the gift of a deer successfully hunted. As many hunters know, it's not just about the kill, it's about the hunt. So you have to enjoy the time itself. There's also the family element. We have mass together. I go up northwest of Bemidji, and I'm with Jerry Damer, Bitsy, his beautiful wife, their children and grandchildren. I think he has like 30 stands out there. In any case, he's a tremendous hunter, and he's taught me a lot. He used to trap fox and other animals when he was even 12 years old, and he would sell the fur and make money. So we hunt up there. We have mass. I also admire them so greatly, because even if I'm not up there on that weekend, Jerry, his kids and grandkids all know we get out of the stand and we go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, God is first. Mm-hmm. Hunting is a gift, but we're not going to get mixed up in our value system. There are people who go up and hunt and then they don't go to church because they say they can. I've had men and women in the parish ask me, Father, do I have to get out of the stand? I say, well, yeah, actually you do.
you should.
God will bless your hunt all the more. In any case, it's very much for the hunters, I think, are the ones who actually respect creation the most.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that before, where, you know, people who don't hunt will say, oh, I'm Bambi killers.
Killing,
and,
right.
And all of that. And like you said, it's not the kill, it's the hunt that really really attracts hunters. But I have also heard, like fishermen too, that they are the ones that really have the most respect for God's creation and for what God has provided. You know what it reminds me of? Have you guys seen the television shows like Yukon Men and Alaska Frontier and all of those shows where it's subsistent living? I mean, they're out there in the wild in Alaska, and what they kill, they eat. It means life for their families, and many of them will once there's the kill, they will literally drop to their knees and thank God for what he has provided. It seems like it's the most basic, back to the beginning. God, you have provided for me, and I thank you for that. But you talk about it's not the kill, Father, it's the hunt. It's not the gun and the shells. It's everything surrounding it that makes for the experience for the hunter.
Well, and they're also managing the population, the wildlife population, correct? I mean, they're aiding in keeping things going, if I understand correctly, wouldn't you say, Dave?
Well, that's an important point, because all of the laws and the hunting seasons are designed to provide an opportunity to keep the populations in check. And as we all know, driving around the roads at this time of year, you see a lot of deer crossing the road. And one of the tools that the DNR uses to reduce the deer car collisions is the hunting season. And so we actually are taking the surplus. Mm-hmm. We're not eliminating all the deer. We're not decimating the population. We're just providing checks and balances. And your earlier point about eating what you harvest is a very good one, because one of my favorite parts of the hunt actually comes later when I make venison for my family. All of my four kids, my wife, they all love it. And so when I make grilled venison steaks, that's just a wonderful celebration. And it's very special to know that I harvested this deer and now I'm feeding my family. And that's a part of the hunt that's very important. And I think the people who oppose hunting should know more about that. In fact, I've served venison meals to people who don't believe in hunting, and it seems to kind of change their mind, or at least soften them a little bit and say, hey, you like this good venison?
It's delicious.
Guess what? It came from a deer I took this fall, and mm-hmm. that's why I hunt, because I don't hunt things I don't eat. We love venison, and that's why I deer hunt.
Yeah, I think I'm ahead of I gotta be honest with you, full disclosure. I'm ahead of you guys this year. It's all legal. It's all legal. But I spoke up in St. Cloud last week with Father Innocenti. And he went after dinner to the freezer and had two quarters of deer, I think you call it, a quarter. And he gave them to me. And I brought them to a meat processing plant about 4 days ago. They called me yesterday and said that my breakfast sausage is ready. And I did this without firing one shell. Trump that.
Boy, Father, I can't top that. How about you?
Well, I tell you what, I have a story myself. Last year, I was out on a farm, and I was waiting for the deer in the stand, and from about a mile and a half away, this 38-point buck was running full speed, jumping over a fence, and I pulled out my rifle with one hand. I pulled the trigger on the fly, aiming about 3 feet above the deer, and perfect shot right through the heart. God is so good. It's amazing.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you ninja. Can't go to confession in the next hour. So,
well, we do stretch the truth. That's part of the whole experience, right, Father?
Well, we don't admit that.
Well, we're going to be talking later with Callie Yanta, with John, to talk about women getting in hunting. But you guys sit up in the deer stand. You know, for a lot of people who've never been deer hunting, and I will admit that about 10 years ago, John the Ninja Yanta brought me hunting, and I went out. This is a true story. He's going to tell you what happened later. You're not going to believe how funny this is. But I got out there, and I think I was wearing a snowmobile suit, practically, because he told me dress warm. Mm-hmm. And then he started squirting me with all kinds of liquids. So he said I would hide in nature that way. And I found out what he was squirting me with. And then he brought me out to a tree and told me to start climbing. And I had no idea you had to sit up in a tree to shoot a deer. I just thought you walked around and you looked for them. And now I'm seeing these deer stands. You know, it used to be just a piece of wood. You'd sit up there. And now some of these deer stands are looking like small chapels.
They're like luxury.
Yeah. What, is that, Father?
Well, that's true. I have to admit, I hunt in a stand that has windows, and you can sort of keep warm in there, open the window when you need mm-hmm. to. Others are more ancient, with just a stand to sit on, and they're out there with, you know, mm-hmm. open to the wind and all sorts of things. You can have quite a variety. But I tell you what, sitting up in a stand versus standing on the ground, you see so much.
So much.
I was amazed to see a skunk 1 year just coming on the same path underneath my stand every day. It would come down one path, it would cross over under my stand under a tree and go on to a second path, and every evening about 5 o'clock. I had no idea that skunks had patterns, but that one taught me it did.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw a black mother bear with three cubs past my stand. Amazing, a fox, things you almost never see. Mm-hmm. But from up in the stand, you get to see a lot of nature.
Do you have favorite prayers that you pray up there, or do you have a routine kind of that you do when you're quiet in the stand talking to God?
Well, I do. I pray my office up there. Okay, so every priest has the prayers of the church, the liturgy of the hours. Mm-hmm. And one morning I was sitting out. It was the second Sunday of the weekend, and it was my last day to hunt. And I'm whining a little bit, like, I haven't seen the right deer. I can't shoot the deer. And I said, okay, well, I better do my office and put God first. So I knelt down in my stand, and I prayed my liturgy of the hours. I finished. It was 9 a.m. I sat up in my chair. A big buck was right in the field.
There you go.
I felt like, wow, okay, I put God first. There
look
was the blessing.
He gave you. Yeah, that's cool.
Connect us with St. Hubert. This is one of the beautiful things about the Catholic Church is that there's a saint for everything. And St. Hubert is considered the patron saint of hunting. And oftentimes when you see his picture, you'll see him with in a hunting situation. But familiarize our listeners, Father, with St. Hubert.
Wonderful. St. Hubert, he's born in 656 and died in the early 700s, about 70 years old. He was an avid huntsman, and he was sort of a worldly figure at first, loving pleasure, loving to hunt the stag, if you will. And while others are going to church, he's out for the hunt. But on a Good Friday morning, at one hunt, he was out there on the chase, and a big deer was in front of him with beautiful antlers. And suddenly, as the legend goes, the deer turned around, and there in the middle of the antlers was a crucifix.
Hmm.
And he heard God say, "Hubert, unless thou turnest to the Lord and lead a holy life, you shall quickly go down into hell." And that was very moving for him. That was the big conversion. Now, he was married, and at that point he went to talk to St. Lambert, who was a bishop. His wife died shortly after. On a pilgrimage to Rome, the Pope received Hubert, and Hubert decided that he was going to be a priest, and the Pope knew, "I'm going to assign him where St. Lambert was," which is a kind of area of the Netherlands. So that was a major conversion. He gave all his money to the poor. He began to serve God entirely, became a bishop. He longed to be a martyr. He was not a martyr, but on his final deathbed, he had a very beautiful moment. While he was dying, the last words he had were, "Our Father who art in heaven."
Beautiful.
And he died.
Beautiful. We're talking with Father Michael Becker. He's the rector at the St. John Vianney College Seminary, and Dave Hrbacek over at the Catholic Spirit. When we talk about St. Hubert and our relationship with a saint, how do you two relate to a saint during a hunt? Are you aware that there is a patron saint of hunting? And after that, I'd like to know, you know, what are some practical things that guys and gals can do in the upcoming hunt when they're sitting in this stand to enjoy it and to talk to God? What are some practical things? But first, let's talk about St. Hubert and our relationship with him.
Well, it's interesting because I was introduced to St. Hubert 2 years ago in 2012. I had had a very frustrating deer season. I had been bow hunting. I'd been gun hunting. I'd had close encounters. I had shot at deer and not found them. And it was just an incredibly frustrating season. So there was about 4 days left for the firearm season. And my son down in Texas calls me. And I'm telling him this story and complaining. And he said, "Dad, what you need to do is find out who the patron saint of hunters is and pray to that saint." And I'm like, "Okay, well, yeah, maybe I'll do that." He goes, "No, Dad, you need to do that, and I'm going to look it up and send it to you." So I get this text later in the day, "St. Hubert." And I'm going, "Okay, what have I got to lose?" So I pray to St. Hubert, and Saturday afternoon, my friend Bernie calls me, and he says, "Dave, let's go hunting. Tomorrow's the last day. Let's give it one last shot." So I'm like, "Okay, what have I got to lose?" So we go out there, and it's fairly cold in the morning, but the wind picks up and it gets cold. We climb down from the stand, have lunch. We come back out, and now it's the last afternoon of the hunt. I get in the stand at about 2 o'clock, and it's just windy as all get out. Strong 30 mile an hour northwest wind in my face, and I'm just gutting it out. But I have this inner peace, like, you know, "Lord, I just know you can do something here, and I've prayed to St. Hubert. I'm ready." Well, there was about 10 minutes of shooting light left, and I thought, well, we're coming to the end. Then all of a sudden, out in the field, just like Father Becker said with the St. Hubert story, out stands this deer all by itself. I didn't know if it was a buck or a doe. It was kind of far away. And I said, "Well, Lord, it's a long shot with a shotgun, but, you know, if this is what I got to do, I'll give it a try." Well, amazingly, this deer turned and trotted all the way within 100 yards and turned perfectly broadside like he was posing for me. So I took the shot, and I took a couple more shots to be sure, and the deer went down. My friend Bernie came over, and we walked into the woods, and I get up to this deer, and I'm like, holy cow, it was a massive 10-point buck, biggest deer I'd ever shot, biggest deer I'd ever seen, and we had this beautiful trophy. It's now over my fireplace. And
wow, you're into
said,
this.
Thank you, St. Hubert.
Exactly. And that's one of my traditions is I say a prayer of thanks to the Lord. And now for the rest of my life, I have a concrete story about the intercession of St. Hubert. Mm-hmm. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was St. Hubert that provided that deer and this opportunity. And so I encourage all hunters.
Let's talk about some practical things to do in the stand to spend the time developing your faith, your walk with God, the relationship. Mm-hmm. And Father, what can some people do? They're coming up. By the way, this coming Monday is the feast day of St. Hubert.
That's right. It's November 3rd, I believe.
Yeah, yes. November 3rd. So as guys and gals are out there in the stands, what would you say to them they can do to cultivate their relationship with God?
Excellent question. Maybe the most, the bullseye question, pardon the pun. Well, I bring out my Liturgy of the Hours. So I pray the morning office every time I'm in the stand. I encourage the rosary. The rosary is a wonderful thing. It's a habitual prayer that you can easily, a repetitive prayer that you can pray to God and yet keep your eyes open for possible deer coming out. You pray with all of your senses when you're out there. So you're listening, you're seeing, you're smelling. All of the senses are engaged in a way that maybe not always the case. But then, again, just God and nature and some thanksgiving to thank God for so many different things. It's easy prayer in the stand. Thank you, God, for this beautiful sunrise. Thank you, God, for the birds that are chirping in the sky. Thank you for the beautiful foliage if it's early in the fall. Thank you, God, for autumn. Thank you, God, for the rest I have, and so on. So thanksgiving prayer is very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate both of you, coming in today and talking about hunting. And I can't think of a better way to end this segment than to have Father Becker pray for all of those who are going to be going out hunting, for their families, for safety, coming up this deer season, and for those that are already out there right now. Father, could we ask you just to lead us all in a prayer for everyone who's listening and all their loved ones?
I'd be honored to do so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful gift of creation. We thank you for our own creation, for all the gifts you give us in the church, the sacraments, the living word. We thank you for our families. We thank you that you have given us animals to be companions and that also to provide us food. We ask that you bless all hunters this season, that you would protect them, Lord, from all accidents and injuries, that your holy angels would go before us to guard us in every step, every climb, every shot. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in our thoughts, in our mind, in our heart, in our desires, that we would give you glory and honor, that we would give you thanks, that we would exalt you and be pleasing to you in every way. Lord, we do ask that you provide for families, and we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why don't we pray a Hail Mary together for all hunters?
Okay.
Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And St. Hubert, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming on today.
Yep. Dave Hrbacek from the Catholic Spirit and Father Michael Becker from the St. John Vianney College Seminary, talking about hunting. And when we come back after the break, we're going to talk with John the Ninja Yanta and his lovely wife, Callie, about hunting and what they're doing as a family. That's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. At a time when most academics thought progress in civilization meant overcoming the influence of religion, the English historian Christopher Dawson dedicated his life to taking religion seriously in the study of history. A Catholic convert, he spent years in intense study and reading across cultures and across centuries. In his more than 20 books, Dawson came to articulate the essential role of religion in human culture and in the study of history. He came to the United States briefly as the first holder of the Stillman Chair in Roman Catholic Theological Studies at Harvard University. In his little book, The Historic Reality of Christian Culture, Dawson deftly lays out his vision of faith and culture. He He died in 1970 at the age of 80, and his library and personal papers are part of the special collections at the University of St. Thomas.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Raise a glass to friendship and to knowing.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we're talking about hunting this segment. Corey Regan.
Yes, we're talking about hunting and the connection with our faith, and specifically Catholics and how they hunt and things they pray about when they're hunting.
They hunt more prayerfully than any other group of people.
That's true. And we're with joined today, honored to have John and Callie Yonta with us to talk about their hunting experience. And I guess, are you a hunter as well, aren't you, Callie?
I'm just starting.
Just starting.
Okay. And I'm
You're
excited
like, if,
because
if you can't beat them, join them. Right,
exactly.
There you go. You got to get in
have
it with
we can
it
do together.
Right.
And we just did this week went deer hunting together.
So. Oh, we're going to hear about that because it looks like you've got a Band-Aid on your thumb.
Not to discourage any women from getting into hunting.
It's, not to discourage.
It's
but
a small Band-Aid.
Does not come easy. Hey, John Yonta, I affectionately call you John the Ninja Man Yonta, but and that's because the first time you took me hunting, I could not believe how high up in a tree you were climbing, and you seemed to be very relaxed up there while I was somewhere else trying to hunt. And it's one of the funniest stories that literally I have ever had. When you took me out hunting, what was it, 10 years ago, 8 years ago? I don't know what it was. I didn't even know that you had to go into a tree. That was a total surprise after I put that snowmobile suit on. And when I found out I had to climb about 20 feet up in a tree, what's your recollection of that day?
Well, first of all, the product that I was spraying on you was a product to keep you not smelling, so the deer couldn't smell you. But all I remember is that afterwards you told me why you're afraid of heights. And I don't know if you want to share that, but when you're a young man, you were helping your dad roof your house, and you unfortunately fell and did a couple cartwheels and everything else, so you have a little bit of a nervousness about heights. I didn't know that. So when I was pushing on your body, parts of your body, and trying to push
like,
you in the dark up the tree, I'm going, Jeff, what is the problem? And you're like shaking and grabbing the tree with your, you know, there was fingernail marks in the tree like a bear. And I go, my goodness gracious, there's something wrong here. Yeah. So then I walked him over to a hay bale, and he sat next to the hay bale, and I went to the opposite end, and I had this doe permit where you can shoot a doe, and Jeff had just a buck. Only I had a buck walk right by me, and Jeff had a doe literally walk right next to him,
right up to me,
and we both could have shot the deer because we're party hunting and both enjoyed it. But I
didn't know that.
You know, yeah,
I was going to yell across the grove, John, shoot!
Here it comes. Get ready.
Well, just to close that story out, it actually was quite funny because John tried to push me up in the tree, and I said, "This is not going to work." First of all, I got a snowmobile suit on, so I got back down and I said, "Why don't you just go to your tree and do what you need to do? I'm going to sit here." And it was actually on top of a beehive.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was beehives. You've got a lot better memory than I do.
Well, I remember that day
so
quite well.
The story goes on. Yeah.
Humiliation has a way of bringing back memory, but I said, you know what, John, I'm just going to sit here with my gun, and I'm like Barney Fife with the bullet in my pocket, and you said, well, they're not going to come near you, and I said, well, I have to just trust God here. So I sat there freezing, and down the road comes a doe?
Yeah.
Comes a doe, walks right up to me about 6-7 feet in front of me and stares at me. I'm thinking, you are so lucky that I don't have that kind of a license, you know. But that was a fun experience, and I think a few days after that, I actually did go up in a tree about 6 or 7 feet, 10 feet maybe, and I really enjoyed it. It was very, very relaxing. I didn't see a deer or anything, but it was relaxing, and I thank you for it. Tell me about your experience. I mean, you are a very serious hunter, and I think you've even got a new place in Wisconsin that your whole family is able to enjoy.
Yeah.
And you've got a lovely family now. Just talk to me a little bit about your love for hunting as a Catholic man.
Well, I think that the biggest thing, I go to on a retreat every year called De Monterville, and I recommend any man that wants to spend a weekend away and allowing the Holy Spirit to, you know, dispose them to go to De Monterville. But hunting does that for me. God teaches me a lot of humility in that stand. There's deer that come up, and I go, why? What happened? What did I do wrong? But most of the time, you're just sitting there, like the two individuals, Father and Dave said earlier, just watching nature. And mm-hmm. you start to be internally perspective in terms of being introspective about who am I? What do I do in life? How do I affect other people? When my wife gets mad at me, why is she getting mad at me? Mm-hmm. My sons, how am I handling? Because it's
never happens.
I'm not the best father. I mean, I try every day. I mean, I have six lovely children, and there are a lot of energy, and there's times I don't treat them as well as I could. And so I think hunting,
any parent would say
yeah.
that.
And so hunting gives me time to really think about humility and about how to, you know, what can I do different? So it's a little retreat in the fall. And then you got the camaraderie of all your buddies coming along and, hey, how'd you do? What'd you see? What's out there? The weather, you know, this just everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of, like you said earlier, slow time where there's nothing going on. And so if you're not, have your mindset to be open to that, it might be the most boring thing you've ever done.
Do you take your kids?
I try to. My oldest son, I burned him out, and he thinks it's so boring. But my second son shot a monster bear, and mm-hmm. my third son will kill anything, but we're waiting for him to just get old enough.
Well, I think it'd be a good time to bond with your children, too,
yes.
have some actual time to just talk and be with each other.
Now, I'm going to let my wife say something, but Dan, do you take him out hunting? I didn't know he was a big warrior.
Yeah, are you?
No.
Yeah. Hi, Dan. I mean, Dan's in
hey,
my
Dan.
Business. So,
yes.
Yeah.
No, we're kind of busy right now. With
tell
the
them how many children you have.
I have five kids. My oldest just turned six. So we're extremely just in survival
she has
mode
Irish
right
twins.
Now.
I learned about that.
Really? Yeah. Yes. We're on the hunt to just keep our head above water
yes,
at this
good
moment.
For you.
So,
you know what an Irish twin is, John?
Two children that have a lot of red hair.
That, and they do. That's true. And they're born within 1 year. So.
What is it? What is an Irish twin?
They're born within two kids born within 1 year.
Okay,
so right.
She
and we are Irish, and so yes, it works perfectly then.
So take
and
Dan,
Catholic.
You need to get Dan out.
He needs to get into it. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens though, right? The guys leave, and then I'm home alone with five kids, and we can talk about that part of it—the hunting widow part.
Yeah,
he does golf. I mean, let's keep him to that now.
for years, John. I mean, you've gone out for years hunting with all your friends and family, and big hunting guys like me. But Kelly, you stayed home for all of these years for the most part. What's life like being the wife of a hunter? What do you think about when your husband's out there? Is it I'm glad he's out there,
or do you plan your next girl's trip? Because that's what I'd be doing.
Oh, totally. Tit
for tat, right?
Tell me about it.
Well, it has changed over the years. I remember early on in our marriage, I would get rather upset when he was away and I was pregnant and nursing a baby, or, you know, just like you are right now.
And a lot going on.
It's so
busy. You're single parenting.
And then it snows and I'm out there shoveling and I'm thinking, Lord, he's out hunting and I'm doing everything back home. And I was angry. And I had a great spiritual director then who said, you know, just remember that this is what your husband needs right now, and it's not 50-50. There are going to be times when he's carrying the load, and it's true, you know, of course. But at the moment, of course, it was poor me. And now that was 16 years ago and our, you know, first baby. And now I can see after all these years how much it helps him.
It's good for
to
him.
Get out there.
He needs it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's got such a high-stress job.
It's a gift.
He's a type A to the max, A plus plus personality. So he's always going, go.
You're not kidding, are you?
the everyone laughs when he says he goes to De Montreville, a silent men's retreat. They're like, John Yanta, silent for 3 days? That's impossible. But he loves it because it's such a needed break.
Needed,
and so when he's out in the tree stand, I used to think he was making it up when he said, this is my prayer time. I thought, yeah, good excuse, right? But he really does pray out there. He really does decompress. He really does reflect on what's going on in our family life. And he comes back.
He comes back a better man.
He does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Go away
so
more
it's a
often,
good
John.
Thing.
Go away more often.
What about you, honey? Now, you just experienced hunting. I don't want to interview you, but, you know.
Did you come back a better woman after you were hunting? I'm just curious.
This is interesting because all these years you were at home.
Right.
He was hunting, but something changed this last year. What changed?
Well, our youngest child is four and out of diapers. And,
so
you know, we're
going.
A little more freedom going on, and I've always enjoyed the outdoors, but maybe I'm just not
a place though that you like.
Oh yeah, the farm. Yeah. Heavens to Betsy, my goodness, we bought a farm in Wisconsin that is absolutely the most beautiful place on earth, and I can't get there enough. And so with that place to go to, which is in what is it As far as deer hunting, the county that it's in, Buffalo County, Wisconsin, is ranked top five in the country country for whitetail deer hunting. So there are a lot of deer. My husband's passionate about it. We have a little more freedom with the kids getting older now for me to join in.
To go, yeah.
So you did it. Tell us about it. What'd you do?
Well, I sat in a deer stand yesterday for about 4.5 hours not a metal stand like you were trying to climb up that day, Jeff. This was like, a little mini hotel
It's like luxury. It doesn't have a potty in it and a toilet.
Oh, I totally brought my double duty bucket.
That's awesome.
Totally, yes. And it was warm because there was no wind on me and it was beautiful.
Was it just you two?
Well, yeah, he was in a different one.
Oh, okay.
He was in a different one at the same time, but I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, I have family members who may be listening who are passionate about animals, and I love animals too, but I think realize that they're, you know, deer and cattle and chickens are here for a purpose, and it's okay to eat them, because we don't just shoot to kill. We maximize the whole thing. John has over the years, and I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. So I was saying, okay, Lord, you know, whatever your will is, you know, but if there's a deer that I have a chance to shoot, please make sure it's either a kill shot or a total miss. Don't let me injure it and have it go wandering off and dying a slow, painful death.
What's that on your thumb? Looks like you had a big Band-Aid on your thumb there.
That is a big Band-Aid. I learned the day before we went out how not to hold the bow.
Okay.
You don't wrap your thumb over the top.
Actually, it's not a regular bow. It's a crossbow.
It's a crossbow, it's like a shotgun.
It's like Robin Hood type thing.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's way more advanced than a Robin Hood type thing. It's unbelievable.
Well, Robin Hood it shoots 360 feet per second, so the string is horizontal, and she's holding her thumb up while she's holding it, and it basically sliced right into her fingernail. Mm-hmm. The amazing thing, Jeff and Corey, when we went to the emergency room, first of all, I didn't think it was that big a deal until I saw it. And oh my gosh, went into the flesh. The reality, they started stitching up the fingernail. And I don't know how, I was watching, how did she get it in underneath and pull it back up? That is the amazing thing about this nurse.
Okay, as a result of the show, we had about 40 women who are going to go out this year, and now that's down to about four.
No. Okay. Well, I can tell you how not to hold the bow. And I actually did shoot yesterday. I didn't get it. There was no deer that came within sight of me. However, I did shoot a pumpkin at the end just to overcome my fear and make sure that I knew how to hold it, that I would stop shaking.
Was it a kill shot?
It was.
Was that fun?
I demolished the pumpkin.
But here's the interesting part. I thought she'd just say, I'm done. My thumb's so sore. No, she goes, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
She went, and in fact, I go, at about 1 o'clock, she goes, let's get in a stand. I go, Callie, it's a little early. She goes, come on, I want to get in there. I go, all right, let's go. And I brought her up there, got her all prepared. She was in there like 2 or 3 hours before you normally would, because the deer come out typically at night. Mm-hmm. During the rut, they come out all day, the boys do. And she was up there. She was a trooper. And, you know, I thought for sure she wasn't going to go after this thumb injury, but she did.
And isn't it like a, what do they call it, a rebuild the herd year, so you're only allowed to shoot?
Well, in Wisconsin, this is different. Wisconsin, down where we are, you can shoot doe on the license. They give you actually a free doe license with your hunt. There's a lot of deer in our area. We're southern part.
Okay.
You know, a lot of hills, and, you know, the warm south-facing sun opens up those hills so they can get vegetation. In fact, we had a radish patch in our pasture, or our plot out in our area. It was about maybe a 20-acre radish patch that was left all year. We had 75 deer every night come in there to eat.
Oh my gosh!
So there's a few deer down there.
That's why it's number one.
Yeah.
What do you do, John, when you're in the stand? What do you do to what are some devotions that you do personally?
Well, a lot of times I just I definitely will pray the rosary if I haven't prayed the rosary, and then I pray to all the like you did, St. Hubert. He doesn't always come through for me. Then I go to St. Jude and whatever the saint of the day is
down the line.
St. Sebastian's the saint of the arrows, you know, the archers, and so I've had experiences just like Dave and them that reflect on God giving me graces, but a lot of times God does this. Please God, no, not yet.
Well, and I like what you said about looking into yourself and sort of how can I be a better person and what can I do to make changes? I mean, because we don't really get a lot of time to do that, I don't think, and that's a good.
Well, I mean, I am, my wife would say a unique guy from the standpoint different, and I think that I have to get out there. It's just a passion. It's the
need.
It's not a killing. It's the hunt. It's you got an animal You know, human beings have 3 to 5 million orifices in their mouth and nose to smell, like chocolate, you know, vanilla, different smells. A dog has 50 million. Mm-hmm. So a dog can, you know, drugs, bones,
anything.
Ticks in beds.
They got good sniffers.
A deer has 200 million.
Oh, my gosh.
So a deer, you know, they can smell you. A bear, they can't even measure it. So a bear knows you in there. If a bear wants to eat you, he's got a purpose coming in there because he knows you're there. He smelled you. Mm-hmm. So you have to play the wind. It's a strategy, you know, and then you're shooting all day, year long on the ground, and now you got to climb up 15, 20 feet, sit on a little, you know, 12 by 20 inch platform, and, you know, your heart's going crazy, you got heavy clothes on, it's cold, and be able to get a great shot. I mean, it's unique.
I
mean, yeah.
We're talking with John Yanta and Callie Yanta about hunting.
Well, we were listening when Dave and Father Becker were on earlier, and I love how Dave shared that story about praying to St. Hubert, and he was so obviously an intercessor. John, can you tell them about when our godson Gabriel interceded for you last year?
I love this story.
Yeah. I get a little teary-eyed because I ask people to pray for me because there's times when, you know, I get frustrated because, you know, the deer aren't coming by, and all of a sudden he called, or I called him, and he said, "I'll pray for you." Well, that night, a monster came by, and I shot him.
And he prayed. He's the sweetest kid, you know, nine-year-old boy at that time. He's 10 now, but, you know, he said, "I'm going to really pray for you." And
he did.
And it worked. He called him up afterwards and said, "Thanks.
Thank you.
You did
it."
That's
so cool.
Talk to me about some good things you can do with the venison. Is this an opportunity for you to give to other people, to invite other people over for fellowship and share the stories? I mean, if it is, I'm willing to come over.
Me too. I love it.
Tell us about that.
Well, we'll see what happens this year. There hasn't been a deer put in the freezer yet, so we're going to get on that. But yeah, definitely. You know, I know when we were dating and in our first year or two of marriage, didn't you and your brothers, and they would donate some of the, because they would get a lot, and they would donate it to the food shelf.
Well, it's a great gift, too.
Now that we have 6 kids and a lot of relatives who do come over, we haven't donated lately because we eat it all year long, you know. Mm-hmm. But everyone loves it, honestly. We found a really, really good processor out near Watertown, Minnesota, Taylor Meats. They do a great job.
One of the things that that appeals to me is I don't have any boys. I have all girls. And if they were into hunting, I would certainly take them out. And I suppose they would be if I were into hunting more. Is that it provides an opportunity for, and I'll use this as an example, a father-son relationship where there's time spent together doing something in the natural that you enjoy, but on top of that, grace builds on nature. On top of that, you have the time to give some life lessons, mm-hmm. I would think. Is that right? Like, for example, you know, I remember one guy saying he talked to his son about, you don't drink and hunt, mm-hmm. and here's the reason you don't. And then that was taken into other areas of life.
Right. I mean, my oldest boy, I brought him out to Wyoming, and he was a trooper. He sat for 5 hours a night for 5 days.
And he was how old?
He was probably 12.
Okay.
And he's kind of got, I burned him out. I did the wrong thing there. And so he doesn't really have an appetite for hunting. And because deer hunting, for the most part, is boring. You know, you got to be real quiet, it's cold,
just
everything else.
There.
So with kids that are dialed into technology and they want action.
I was going to say, nowadays, that's hard for kids to slow down. Like,
right.
They're not used to that. They can't.
So the best
thing
to do is to take them, like Dave did, squirrel hunting, which I haven't done a lot of, or duck hunting, or pheasant hunting, where there's action.
And you're moving.
Then they come back to the pool, and they can, you know, hang out. And it's more of that camaraderie there. So I'm hoping his mother, after she shoots a nice big deer, will get him more interested in it. But, you know, this place we have we're very blessed. It's a, you know, old farmhouse that Callie loves, and there's places and trails where they can ride motorcycles and ATVs and adventure that way, and just go out and shoot mm-hmm. pigeons and all that kind of stuff, which is great. And just being outside,
it's a good getaway.
You know? Yeah,
getaway.
I have a question for you. The, you know, as we're talking about it, you've been interested in this since you were a kid. You know, I mean, you've always been interested. You're a self starter. You know how to do it. You know where to buy the guns. You know where to go. You know, we have friends that are listening to the show right now that are thinking, man, I wish I could get into deer hunting, but I don't know anybody, and I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get started. As far as a relationship with other Catholic men and women, what would be your recommendation to someone that would say, I'd like to do that?
Well, I think that deer hunting is something I don't think you just go do yourself. I mean, especially in Minnesota, it's hard because it is a little bit more complicated. And, you know, you can go to public land. I think, you know, I would start out with maybe squirrel hunting or something like that. And there's a lot of places you can just drive up, you know, go out into the country and drive up to some guy's woodlot and say, do you mind if I, if it isn't during deer season, obviously, if, do you mind if I take my son squirrel hunting? They'd probably go for it. And if you see a coyote, kill him too, right. You know? And that's where you start to feel, instead of spending all kinds of money on a rifle and, you know, it can be very expensive, the clothes and everything else. So, you know, from there, you just kind of, I think you put your name out there with people. You just say, hey, I'm looking to hunt. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, Jeff was proud enough and nice enough to say to me, hey, I'd like to come hunt with you. I go, you're on. You know, I'm going to invite him to our place, and if he can make it, he can come down there hunting.
You need like mentor.
Yeah, if he didn't say anything to me, I'd say, well, you know, he doesn't really want to go. But he showed, you know, the initiative to say, I'd really like to go. And mm-hmm. do you know anybody that hunts?
And, right.
And if you don't, there are places like the Horse and Hunt Club, right. Not far from the metro area.
It's
where
in
you
Prior
can,
Lake or somewhere down
right,
there.
Right, right. And you can, you know, just book a reservation to have them with an instructor. I did that Thank once you. When we
Tell
were...
Tell them what happened to your clay pigeon shoot. I can't believe it.
I know. I still can't believe it. I shot 48 out of 50 my first time with an instructor, though, who was very good. I don't remember his name, but it was, you know, I didn't realize how good that was until I started, you know, telling people.
She told me, I go, Callie, it's a mortal sin to lie. Annie Oakley didn't do that. I can call you Callie Oakley, but 40 out of 50, that's,
you have very
God-given talent there. You got to use that.
We have a few minutes
there.
Left, and I want to talk about another side of it just for a moment, and that is sometimes, you know, you whatever it is you're into in life, you know, like for me to relax, I like to ride my Harley Davidson. I relax. I can. A couple of weeks ago, I drove to Kansas to speak and came back. And my wife will say he's always comes back different. He's relaxed when he does that. But like anything, you can take things to an excess.
Yep.
And talk to me a little bit about moderation and how avoiding the issue of it damaging your relationship with your family and other people.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want me to?
Well, I will, as the wife who, you know, until this year stayed home all the time, I can say that this hasn't been an issue as far as him being out there. I never felt like a hunter's widow, mm-hmm. except maybe in that first year when I was complaining, you know, and, mm-hmm. and then realized this is a good thing. But obviously that can happen, mm-hmm. and there needs to be balance. And, you know, I have been involved in other things like pro-life work, and I'm still a sidewalk counselor. But, you know, even that had to be sort of, dialed back a little bit because I was gone
like
so much
it.
From
You're a mom.
Home.
You're
yeah,
a wife,
a mom
yeah.
first and a wife first. So, yeah, it can happen, definitely.
Here's what I'd say. I we're blessed to have this farm. I want to have a place where she could go and be proud of going, and then everybody would want to go to it. Before that, what happened is I found spots. I still have them in the Twin Cities mm-hmm. so that I could go hunting that day and come home that night.
Right.
So I'm always, when I go bow hunting, I'll go to a spot in Medina. The guy will be mowing the grass across the street. I can hear dogs barking, and there's a doe or buck right in front of me. They don't even know they're there. And so I hunt in Plymouth. I hunt in Medina, and I hunt in Chaska. And these are spots where I go hunting. And typically now with daylight savings time, I could be home by 6 o'clock. And
yep.
the kids don't even know if they think I had a long day at work, but mm-hmm. I left work at 3 o'clock and went hunting.
Well, I want to thank both of you for stopping by and talking about hunting. It's an interesting topic, and we can learn a lot of life lessons, I think, from it. And mm-hmm. perhaps in the future, maybe when you come back, we'll talk about what you got and what you're gonna serve me when I come over. But
I want to go.
We just need to get Absolutely. Corey and Dan to come I'm down in. And watch you,
yeah,
Jeff,
okay.
shoot one.
Well, you get me locked and loaded. I'll come out there, and I'm going to catch a deer, okay?
No catching. You have to shoot one.
Catch a deer this year. But thank you. That's John Yanta, Callie Yanta, talking about hunting. And we do pray that all of you hunting, seriously, are safe this year. Keep prayed up and enjoy God's nature and the beautiful things that He has given you. Lots of things happening in the news.
When we come right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency.
We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you, who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
And here's a quick look at some of the Catholic events happening around the Twin Cities. Catholic Rural Life, along with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, are hosting a public lecture by Cardinal Peter Turkson, President of the Pontifical Council for Social Justice and Peace, titled Faith and the Call for a Human Ecology. Cardinal Turkson's presentation will be on Wednesday, November 5th at 7:30 p.m. in the OEC Auditorium at the University of St. Thomas. Attendance is free. Seating is limited. To make a reservation, call 651-962-5955. That's 651-962-5955.
And November is National Adoption Month. The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life will be hosting special adoption masses at parishes across the Archdiocese. Come to one of these masses and find out if adoption is for you. Mass will be followed by light refreshments and information about adoption, as well as an opportunity to talk with adopted families. Adoption masses begin this weekend at all regular masses at Annunciation Parish in Minneapolis. Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Bloomington will host adoption masses November 15th and 16th. More information at archspm.org.
And what's coming up in future weeks on the Rediscover Hour, Jeff?
We're going to be talking about young adult ministry. We're going to be talking about evangelization and how to share your faith with other people. Very, very natural. That's coming up on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you. Have a great week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.